In our last segment on healthcare, I contrasted my experience of German healthcare with an overnight stay at a Seattle hospital for the same broken hip. Germany, it turns out, is much less expensive, if a bit austere, but in my case, all agreed that the quality of care had been excellent. Today, we'll discuss the issues with two veterans from the front lines of healthcare, Dr. Michael Tuggy and Patricia Mulhern.
My name is Michael Tuggy. I'm a family physician. I'm the director of a family medicine residency training program at Swedish Medical Center in downtown Seattle.
My name is Patty Mulhern. I am the former vice president of patient services and chief nurse officer at Visiting Nurse Services of the Northwest.
Good day to you both, and thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
If you really take a look at how we spend our dollars, we do not have a healthcare system. We have an illness system, which waits until people have a disease in which we have to treat. And that is what is reimbursed by the third-party payers, and that is what is reimbursed by Medicare. Anytime that you do not have an active disease process, there is no reimbursement. Therefore, the physicians do not get reimbursed for helping people to learn how to better manage themselves for health promotion. The incentives are incorrect.
Where the problem has developed in the last 30 or 40 years in primary care is that the way the physicians are paid and the offices operate, there is such a squeeze on time that you're only given less than 15 minutes per patient in order to make the clinic solvent financially. We're paid basically on what we document in a chart, not what we actually do. We often do much more than we can document, because if we spent the time to explain what we were doing on paper for every visit, we would quickly run out of paper and also time to actually see more patients.
The Dartmouth report that was published in the New Yorker focused on McAllen, Texas as one of the highest cost spots in the country and contrasted that with Rochester, Minnesota and Seattle, interestingly enough, as high quality, low cost healthcare areas.
So in McAllen, Texas, what they contrasted there was the nature of private practices being engaged with payers where they're incentivized only when they do things to patients. Whereas in Rochester, where Mayo Clinic is a predominant actor, that clinic basically pays its physicians based on their quality measures to monitor the patient's outcomes and the long-term effects of the treatments. And so they're incentivized to do the right thing as opposed to do something.
The Democrats are talking insurance reform, and the Republicans are talking cost control. It seems to me that we can't have one without both, and I'm confused by this juxtaposition.
What's interesting about that is that there have been measures put in many, many times to control costs, but every single one of those things has failed. And I think a lot of that is based on two things. One is the true incentives are never really realigned in those cost control measures. And the second thing is we still have a system that's not built on a primary care delivery model.
It's not just the insurance companies and it's not just the providers. They're in this dance and everybody is trying to do the best thing. And I think a perfect example of that is HMOs coming in, really trying to reduce costs by adding this whole middle layer of case managers who then have to approve. Any provider has to call in and get approval before they do a certain thing, and they have a yay or nay say, and yes, go ahead and do it, or no, it's unnecessary, or it's going to cost too much money. I mean, that came out of a desire to reduce costs, but there have had very many negative effects of that because there is no way of tracking the efficacy of the provider. I mean, there's just a whole lack of trust.
The insurance companies seem to be the boogeyman of the week, and I suspect that not all of the ills of the system lie with the health insurers.
I've had a lot of dealings with several different companies in our process of developing our medical home model, and we've had some very positive interactions with some of the leaders of those companies who recognize that we have to do it a different way. And it's better for the insurance plan if there's better outcomes for patients because their costs are lower and their profits would then go up some too.
I would like to second that because I think the way that we have evolved and developed has been without a vision and without a plan. It's just kind of ad hoc developed in response to the need at the time. This is a huge opportunity for us to be able to step back and say, what is it that we really need and what is it that would really be effective? In this great country, we should be able to go from 38 up to at least the top five, because we have the ability to do that.
Next week, we'll look at healthcare quality issues. For KBCS One World Report, this is Tom Allen.